When Phil Murphy became New Jersey governor in 2017, one of his main promises was the creation of a $15 minimum wage in the state. This past week, Murphy made a big push for state legislators to start making this happen. In 2019, many, including my first guest today, see a $15 minimum wage as inevitable. The hope is it'll come about while doing the least amount of financial damage to businesses, especially the smaller independent ones, as possible. Here to review the current state of the plan is the president of the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, Michelle Sikorka. How are you today, Michelle?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
And the website for the New Jersey Business Industry Association is njbia.org. Now that I guess the original image of a $15 minimum wage was a flip of a switch and would go from the just under $9 to $15, but it's going to be a phase-in situation, at least in the current state of affairs. It would raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour by the year 2024, but teens under 18 years old, agricultural workers, seasonal workers, and workers at businesses with fewer than 10 employees would have until 2029 to reach that same wage. Is that the best-case scenario as far as your organization is concerned?
Well, it's certainly a start, and it's a far cry from where we were a few years ago when this was first being discussed. If you go back 2 or 3 years, there was the constant discussion of, we have to get there tomorrow, and that just wasn't going to be feasible at all. You can't, you know, double the minimum wage in a year and expect that business isn't going to have a negative impact as a result of that. So we've spent the last few years in very good dialogue with our policymakers, bringing data to the table about why this needs to be a slow and responsible pathway to doing this. Businesses require predictability. They need to be able to look out the next 5 years and plan for those 5 years.
Now, people make the argument that the current minimum wage of just under $9 is not even close to a living wage. Some people need 2 and even 3 jobs just to make ends meet. Have we forgotten the reality that a minimum wage is just that, it's a starting wage, is not designed to be a career wage?
We have been an advocate of that position for a long time. You know, what we advocate for is building skills. When you build skills, you naturally and organically raise someone's wages because wages should be commensurate with a skill set. So we advocate for building skills so that we can organically raise people's wages. What happens is if we artificially inflate the value of any position, we have to reset every position across the spectrum, across all industry, at all level, compression, as people call it. If you artificially have a starting or an entry point, every position that's higher than that is going to be impacted as well.
Is that why there's another element of the bill, I guess, goes in tandem with that philosophy, too? In 2020, the bill would also allow employers to pay workers, they call it a training wage. It would equal at least 90% of the minimum wage at that time for up to 80 hours.
So the idea of a training wage is that when people come in on day one, the company is investing in the time that it takes to get them up to speed in order for them to be productive in the workforce. We believe there's no reason why you should pay a premium while you're spending money training. But the other piece of this is that there's an extremely high turnover rate at the front line. Oftentimes, it is not uncommon that someone will come in, they'll get trained. It could take weeks to a month to a couple of months to train somebody. And as soon as you finish training that employee and making that investment, they leave. There's a significant cost to turnover, and so we're trying to have our policy makers recognize that you shouldn't pay a premium on day one.
When an increase in the minimum wage is thought about, talked about, it's looked at the individual making the under $9 as the beginning, middle, end of the story. Most businesses, they have someone, let's just say they've been there for 10 years, they've worked their way up to a $20 hourly wage. If and when this bill comes to pass, someone's going to go from $8.60 to, let's just say the first increment will be $12. Okay, that person just got a $4 raise in their pay. I'm not getting anything out of this, am I?
Correct. That's a compression issue. So the example I love to give is if you're going to pay a premium to the counter person at Burger King, you know, let's just say they're going to make, you know, $12 or $15. The paralegal who has a certificate and is earning $16 and change perhaps after a couple of years is going to walk right into the managing partner's office and say, hey, what about me too? And that's real life practicality.
Well, Michelle Sikorka, who is the president of the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, their website, njbia.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned Burger King, and that's one of the positions, too. And I think we're seeing it starting to happen already, certainly in retail outlets. Automation will become a solution to businesses who won't be able to handle or are looking ahead to see, well, this might be a little tough pull for us, so let's find more economical ways to maintain business, lower costs to be able to compensate for a minimum wage hike. We've seen cashiers be replaced by self-checkouts. In the service industry, we've seen cooking being replaced by automation. We've seen, I saw a story where Walmart is testing an automated janitor robot that would go up and down the aisles, do the job that a human does right now.
Yes, automation absolutely is one of the impacts that we discuss and that we've studied. Each year, we ask our members, we do a business outlook survey. So we survey our members each year, and for the last couple of years, we've asked them, what would the impact of $15 minimum wage have on you? And automation was one of the areas that we asked, you know, would you be faster to automate? And we have many of our businesses that say, absolutely. I mean, the impact through our survey, our members tell us, they will reduce hours, they may reduce benefits, they may hasten their pace to automate. These are the types of things, and they'll raise prices. These are the types of things that business has to do, because think about it. The profit pie is only so big. And for small business, that profit pie is like really tiny. I mean, it's really more like a cookie than a pie, okay? And every time you cut into that, the pie doesn't get any bigger, or the cookie doesn't get any bigger. So you've got to cut it in different ways. And if you've got to put more money out on the front end, you've got to find a way to make it up on your balance sheet.
Just a simple mental math for the sake of discussion here. If my budget as a business owner for salaries is $125,000 and the first couple of levels of increase in the minimum wage is going to see that go up to my cost maybe to $165,000, well, if I'm a retail business specifically, especially, but I think really all levels of business, I can either eat that cost or I'm going to pass that cost on to either my customers or my supplier or my the businesses I'm a supplier to, depending on what type of business I'm in, the cost is going to go up for somebody.
Oh, absolutely. So we talk a lot about the fact that the unintended consequence to those you're actually trying to help in this scenario, you know, proponents say, well, when you put more money in the pocket of the worker, they're going to spend that in the economy. Well, the challenge is the cost of what they're buying is going to go up commensurate with the increase in their salary. So that pizza that used to cost $8 is now going to cost $10. So they're still going to be as challenged perhaps to buy that product because the price of it's going to raise commensurate with their salary increase.
I know this past week Governor Murphy made a stop in Parsippany. The company is Earth Friendly Products. They have been bringing people in since 2014 at a minimum wage of $17 an hour. On their side, as their individual example, they see a reduction in turnover on employees drop from 3% to 1.5% in an industry where turnover is close to 20% by some studies. Is it unfair to look at a single example like that and say, this is what would happen right across the board?
New Jersey companies pay competitive wages and give benefits and competitive compensation packages so that they can attract the best workers that they can. Companies who have the ability to have a profit line that affords them the opportunity to have an increased minimum wage, cheers to them. They're doing it every day. Eco-Friendly Products, in fact, is a New Jersey BIA Award for Excellence winner. We recognized their efforts as a company of choice last year at our awards program. So we're, you know, and that's the story we like to tell. There are companies all across the state of New Jersey who look at their balance sheet and say, we can make this work. Good for them. You can't compare that to the corner pizzeria who's got a profit margin that's so slim that oftentimes the owner of that pizzeria has a tough time paying their own bills.
Or even further down the line, if you're a business of one certain type and you have no area competition, you're doing fine right here in the here and now, but maybe a year from now, a similar business is opening a half a mile down the road from you, your business model is going to change drastically.
Well, and that's again another piece to this in terms of, you know, letting the market dictate the competition. Companies who want to attract the best and the most productive and the brightest, they're out there offering competitive compensation packages today. Now, what happens is if you mandate, you know, every company to do that, you're making it harder on those companies who are already competitive today because you have other companies who are just going to now, you know, artificially be giving that wage because they're told to.
As I said in the intro, and certainly those in Trenton are saying it is inevitable, hopefully the path to that inevitability will be as user-friendly for every level of business in New Jersey. Those who can invest more in bringing in talent, as Michelle said, terrific for them. But those who can't do have the right to have a level of comfort for survival, because every business, no matter what the industry is providing a service to a community or another industry. There is a chain, as hopefully you understand when you frequent a business. Learn more about the work of the New Jersey Business Industry Association, membership if you are a business as well. And to learn more about this issue, the minimum wage in New Jersey, njbia.org is their website. She is the president of the New Jersey Business and Industry Association. Michelle Sekirka, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.